Lots of hours of practice there. Not necessarily on that song, but I know Renata has put in so many hours. And tell me where you're at. Did you go to state, and are you headed to state with your flute? Going to state next month. Let's pray for her as she continues to practice discipline, learning the flute. But it was beautiful. Thank you. I love the flute. Amen. Absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite instruments. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, by the time, the customers that come in, we tell each other Merry Christmas when they come in, and then we tell each other Merry Christmas when they leave, and sometimes after they pay. And so by the time they get out the door, I want them to make sure that they know it's about Christ. Amen. It's about Christmas. Not just another holiday. It is about Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Messiah has come. At this time, our children age kindergarten through fourth grade may be dismissed for children's worship. And I believe, we're staying this morning? Okay. All right. I was reading Pastor Nathan's message this morning. He sends it to me after he finishes it at sometimes 12:30, 1:30, 2:30 in the morning. I don't read it when he sends it to me, but I read it when I get up in the morning, and I want to just share a couple of words that he put in his sermon about prayer, because it really says eloquently what I some of the things I wanted to say during our series on prayer. Prayer is the personal exchange of our highest hopes for His highest hopes. Let me say that again. Prayer is the personal exchange of our highest hopes for His highest hopes. Don't you love that? Prayers remain ineffective until we take the prayer that we've prayed back into the world and do something. I love that. I love that. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to James chapter 1, verse 17. We started a series called Gifts, and today we conclude that series. It's called Gift Giving to Others. And we will be spending our time talking about in two areas this morning. Number one, spiritual gifts, and then number two, the gift of Jesus. Spiritual gifts, giving those gifts to others, and then receiving and giving the gift of Jesus to others. Well, yesterday, Jeanette and I went to the mall. We went to Rockford, and we were driving around, and we stopped at a couple specialty shops, and we were thinking about supper, and I love chicken teriyaki I don't even know the name of the place, but they're in the middle of the mall, Love's Park, chicken teriyaki. Does anybody know what that, Kobe's, is it Kobe's? Melissa says, yeah. Yeah, we were thinking about that, and then we topped the hill there going south as you're coming down Perryville, and I could see a sea of cars. The turn lanes were full and backed up way up Perryville, all three of them, turning into the mall, and I said, let's go to Arby's. And so we did a circle around, and we went to Arby's instead, and I just watched the sea of people there at the mall just kind of milling around, and I thought, I don't want to go there. I don't want to be any part of that. I don't really like to shop. And we were driving back, and Jeanette said, you did good. She says, you really love me, don't you? Going to Rockford on the Saturday before Christmas. I said, yes, I do. I love you very much. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. First thing, I'd like to kind of go back to what we talked about briefly, because I want today to be mostly about the coming of Jesus. But I think it's important that we tie these two things together. Number one, our spiritual gifts. We talked about this last week, spiritual gifts. If you were to add up, if we had a giant spiritual gift Christmas tree, in the middle of the room, there would be about 20 spiritual gifts under the tree. These spiritual gifts are found in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. We're not going to read those like we did last week, but that's where you get a description of the spiritual gifts mentioned in Scripture. Now, what is a spiritual gift? By the way, how many of you have seen the new Star Wars? A couple, four, five, six of you. I do not have the spiritual gift of being a Star Wars fan. I know. The Force is not with me. I have the spiritual gift of being a Star Trek fan. Now let's get this straight, okay? Here it is. Now Jason's with me. Here's the thing. I want you to know it's okay that I'm different than you. Okay? Here's the thing. Star Trek is what? Plot-based. Stardate 1492.4. We were headed around with a circular orbit with a satellite sticking a probe into this, you know, planet number X1495, and a strange phenomenon occurred. And the Star Trek crew engage in this scientific anomaly. That's where my brain goes, yes! Ah. Now, I have tried many times to watch Star Wars, and it loses me, the series loses me about the second sentence of the scrolling words. You know how they go, the series. Maybe the second series is not, the next big thing is probably doesn't do that. I imagine we're a little more techie than that right now. But what's Star Wars? Star Wars is a story-driven plot. Okay, I've never watched it, so help me out here. It's about a princess.
No.
Maybe I need to watch it. I don't know. It's not about a princess. What about Princess Leia? Isn't she in the thing? She has to be saved, so I see it as a storyline. And so, the fight between good and evil,
yes.
There it is, yes. Storyline. Star Trek is more about, you know, just let's figure out things, and everything's an experiment and a science. Here's the difference. Spiritual gifts are divine abilities distributed by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. You may not receive your spiritual gifts until you become a believer in Jesus. And when you receive your spiritual gifts as a believer in Jesus, the spiritual gifts that you have been given to edify, to build up the body of Christ, to build up the church, and to build up each other. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. A spiritual gift is given by the Holy Spirit at conversion. That's why a lot of things that we do here in the church don't make sense unless we see them within the context of the church. Why are we graceful with each other? The world doesn't always work that way, does it? It's because in the context of the church, in the context of life in the light of Christ, it makes sense. Giving a portion of our income, and giving God the first fruits of our offering doesn't make sense in the world unless we see it within the light and of the love of Christ. Now, there's a lot of things that you and I are good at. You may be good at fixing things. This is a natural talent. But it may not be a spiritual gift. You can make a living out of doing things that you're good at. But at the end of the day, you're ready to give it a break. You're ready to be done with it. And our coach, Jim Book from the district office has been talking to us about the difference between talents and gifts. Here it is. A talent you can do, and you can do very well, but at the end of the day, you're done doing it. But you can still do it. A gift is something that you just don't get tired doing. You love to do it. It's in your blood. It's in your chemistry. And even though you may get emotionally tired doing it or physically even tired doing it, even when you're resting, you're already starting to think about how you can re-engage and keep on doing it. So there's a difference between talents and gifts. We receive our gifts when we become a Christian, when we give our lives to Christ. And this whole new world of doing things according to God's plan opens up to us. And we don't have to live with this sense of drudgery as in regards to what the work of Christ is, but rather we begin to be infused by His Holy Spirit's energy as we work in the context of the gifts that He's given us. So much could be said here, but I want to keep it moving this morning. Let me illustrate what the different gifts are without even naming. Well, I'm going to name them, but I'm going to give you just a brief practical application on what they could look like. All right, you ready? Here's how people with different gifts would respond to someone who brought a full cup of coffee into the community room and then spilled it. Okay? A variety of responses. Number one, the gift of prophecy. That's what you get when you're not careful. The gift of service. Oh, let me help you clean it up. The gift of teaching. The reason you spilled that is because you filled it pretty full. The gift of exhortation. Maybe next time you shouldn't fill it so full. The gift of giving. Here, you can have mine. The gift of mercy. Don't feel bad. It could have happened to anybody. The gift of administration. Jim, get some paper towels. Sue, could you help me move these chairs? Dave, could you help get him another cup of coffee? Did you see yourself in there anywhere? And the beautiful thing about the spiritual gifts is Paul says, don't be envious and striving with each other in regards to who's got this gift and who's got that one, because it takes all of us. Amen? And we've all got different spiritual gifts. We're gifted differently according to God's plan. Friends, the church has every gift that is needed in order to function as a biblical community. We have the gifts that we need. All of us are diverse enough and beautifully gifted to do what God has called us to do. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:17. It says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you wait eagerly for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. You do not lack any spiritual gift as you wait eagerly for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. So not only was Paul talking about the Corinthian church, he's talking to us as well. Sometimes we can look around as a church and, you know, we look around some of the big churches around us and we think, well, if we had people that could do that, we would grow or we would thrive. And that's the wrong way to look at it. The way for us to see the body of Christ in each and every body of Christ, whether they be a body of the four people or a body of thousands, is that body, Living Well Church, First Christian, First Baptist, First Presbyterian, is gifted adequately to do the work of ministry. Amen? Isn't that encouraging? It means that we're not lacking what we need to do the work of ministry, and we can be effective with what we have to work with. I'm very encouraged by that, because it means that all of the work doesn't fall on any one of us, or two of us, or three of us. It means that as a body distributes the workload through the ligaments and the muscles and the bones, so does the body of Christ distribute the workload evenly and adequately to carry the load. As we endeavor to help people find and do ministry from their gift mix, and I understand, you know, sometimes we feel like we've got to, because the need is there, and you might say, I really don't particularly feel gifted in that area, but it needs to be done, therefore I'm going to step up and do it. It means that you have a gift spectrum. You have a gift mix. It means that you may not always get to function in your prime gift strength, but you will be able to make choices and decisions that help you find your sweet spot and center in doing ministry. Does that make sense? So there's going to be times when all of us are going to feel stretched in doing the work of the body. For instance, there may be a time, we all know what it's like to be injured. There may be a time when the left foot is just not going to work, pull its load like it normally does. What has to happen? Well, the rest of the body has to compensate for that left foot not feeling quite right. Now, that when there's an injury, when there's a atrophy from not being used, the rest of the body has to encourage, amen, that part of the body that is atrophied. That the rest of the body has to encourage that part of the body that has went to sleep. You remember when you were a kid and that, like you were laying on your leg wrong, you know, as you were sleeping and you woke up and that thing was just dead to the world. Sometimes that even happens among the members of the body of Christ. We go to sleep. We lay on it wrong. And it's dead to the world. The nerves are asleep. It's not getting blood flow. Fact is, sometimes we can even hide behind our spiritual gifts and say, I'm just not gifted there. But the fact is, certain tasks do continue to need to be done. It has to work just like in a home. None of us could get away with saying, in a home, I just am not gifted at doing laundry. And the husband turns to the wife and says, well, that's funny because I'm not gifted at it either. And so there it sits. Growing pile. You know. I'm not gifted at changing light bulbs. Oh, you're not gifted at changing? I'm not gifted either. Therefore, if neither one of us are really gifted in that area, I guess we'll just do life in the dark. Or how about, I'm not gifted at paying bills. That wouldn't work in a marriage unless you hire somebody to do the accounting and do the checkbook, do the check writing and the debits and all that. Somebody's got to step forward. And the fact is, in a household, it may be like, you know, I'm not gifted at it. And it's obvious you're not gifted at it, but I'm going to do the best I can, huh? Can you hear me all the way back? I'm not gifted at cooking, but one of us has to do it, okay? Therefore, we're going to eat out a lot, but, all right. So. Well, the fact is, choosing what we're going to do around the church based on how we're gifted doesn't work either. The fact is, the work has to be done. And the fact is, we may not always get to work right from our sweet spot every Sunday, but the work has to be done, amen, just like in a household. The floors have to be vacuumed. The glass has to be cleaned. The coffee needs to be made. The slides need to be changed. The clocks need to be set. The projector needs to run. You get the idea. Let me read one of my favorite verses in all Scripture. By the way, before I move on, remember that if someone is not working within their gift mix, it's not sustainable long term. If we have people falling off around here and going, I mean, they work like a dog for a year or two and then just drop off, we got to pay attention to that, amen? Because it means that what they've been doing because someone who's gifted at it hasn't stepped up and said, you know what, I can do that. And as a result, the body functions effectively when all the members of the body find that sweet spot and work within it, and it becomes totally sustainable and doable. Last week, several of you wrote me a note card with your name on it, and I'm sorry, I don't have any with me this morning. For those of you who want to discover your spiritual gift, because in the next few months, our Natural Church Development team is working on identifying an assessment tool to help us find our spiritual gift, and then we can begin working those gifts a little better within the context of the vision of living well. If you would like to do that and didn't fill out your name last week, would you let me know so that I can add you to the list? I want to have a meeting and recognize you and thank you for your desire to participate in that, because it's just going to build the body. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. God gives good gifts. Amen. I love that song that we were singing last week and the week before. We have a good, good Father. And every good and perfect gift comes from above. The Father of lights. God gives good gifts to build the church and to build each other up. You know what? We receive our spiritual gifts at salvation. But you know what? We can get buried in and inundated by culture, and that gift is devalued and devalued and devalued and devalued to the point where we're not sure that we even have a place to use it. I want you to know you have a place here. You have a place to use your gift. And it's not based on education. It's not based on your how really good you can do it. It's if your heart is right, there's a place for you to serve. Amen? And that will build the church. God gives perfect gifts to build the church, to serve others. And 1 Thessalonians 5:10 through 11 says this: He died for us that. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, and that could apply to a few of us here this morning, we may live. Okay. Y'all come with me now. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as in fact you are doing. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. All right. Now let's move on to the gift-giving of Jesus. As God has given to us, so we can give to each other. Amen? As God has given to us, so we can give to each other. This is the time of year when we think back to the three wise men who went to see baby Jesus. And according to the book of Matthew, presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These are simple words, but if we analyze them carefully, we can discover an important yet often overlooked theological fact. In this account, there is no mention of wrapping paper. If there had been wrapping paper, Matthew would have said something like this: And lo, the gifts were encompassed with about 7 square cubits of paper. And the paper was covered within and without with pictures of Frosty, a man of snow. And Joseph purposed in his heart to cast the paper into a barrel of refuse. But Mary saith unto him, Cease, man. Drop the decorative parchment. It should be set aside for future generations. And Joseph didst roll his eyeballs. And it came to pass that the babe was more interested in the paper than the frankincense. The gift that God has given us is perfect. His son Jesus. Mary and Joseph had to be doing mental spiritual flip-flops when they tried to figure out this gift that they had been given. They tried to figure out from the wrapping, it just looked not at all like what they expected. Born without sexual union between Joseph and Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born not in a high-class place, but in a stable in the town of Bethlehem, in swaddling clothes, which would be rags. They laid him in a manger. What a weird wrapping. It's like wrapping a diamond ring in a paper bag. You can understand why Joseph and Mary questioned the angels. You can understand why Joseph was wringing his hands and thinking, I want to do the right thing, I want to do the right thing, but I don't understand what is going on here. And the angel came to Joseph and said, it's okay. What is conceived of her is from the Holy Spirit. Okay. How would you do with that? But he did. He received it, and he said, the angel said, don't be afraid to take her home as your wife. And he did. Let me give you a little wrapping advice, because I'm the expert. Don't you tell on me, Jeanette. If you're having a hard time wrapping gifts, I want to tell you, just skip the wrapping paper. Put it inside a bag and stick one of them little adhesive bows on it. And, you know, the bow creates a festive atmosphere. The garbage bag's perfect. In fact, not a garbage bag, I mean a hefty bag. A Walmart bag. Well, I prefer paper over plastic. Your wife says, why is there a hefty bag under the Christmas tree? And you say, well, it's a gift. See, it has a bow. Your wife peers into the garbage bag, I mean, hefty bag, and says, it's a leaf blower. You say, gas powered, 5 horsepower. Your wife says, thanks a lot. You say, I'm actually God's gift to you. And your wife says, I don't think God gives gag gifts. Yesterday, Jeanette picked up a little something-something while we were shopping at a specialty store. And I paid for it. And then we brought it home. And she said, this can be my Christmas present. And I said, let's wrap it first. And so we took a paper bag that was laying there, and I put it in there, and I thought, this is funny. And then she took it the rest of the way. She folded it up. I'm not making this stuff up. She went and got a bow. I took the adhesive back off the sticker, and I stuck it on there. What? I put the bow on the... It's...
I made it official.
I'm not very good at wrapping. I never have been. I go with the hefty bag or the paper bag. But remember, this year, the most important thing is not what you give or even how you wrap it. The important thing during this special time of year is that you save the receipt. All right, let's move on now. Most men don't know much about rapping, but we have learned all we know about giving from God. God gave Adam and Eve skin from an innocent animal to replace the fig leaves to cover Adam and Eve's shame and nakedness. God gave Noah a plan for the ark that would provide for the saving of his household when the day of judgment came. God gave Sarah a precious miracle child in her old age, and she named him Isaac. God gave the Israelites possession of a land flowing with milk and honey. God gave prophets to plead with the people to tell them of amazing things to come. God gave the scriptures to prophesy of the Messiah who would come to deliver and save his people. God gave the shepherds the pronouncement by the angels that Jesus was born. God gave the wise men a star to lead them to the young child with their gifts. God gave Joseph the patience to understand the strange wrapping that the Messiah had come in. God gave the world the Prince of Peace. God gave us Jesus to take our place as even though he who knew no sin, he became sin for us. Jesus gave his life. He is God's perfect gift. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. James 1:17, every good gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. John 4:10, you read this to me earlier. Every time, every Sunday, Angie has like this backstage pass to what God is getting ready to do in the church. It's amazing. I would say maybe you have the gift of prophecy. Seriously. Jesus told the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that God, that who it is that saith unto thee, give me a drink. I'm going to read the NIV because the King James makes my tongue tie up. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Romans 8:32, Paul states that he spared not his own son, but gave him up for us. How will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Ephesians 2:8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. 1 Corinthians 9:15. I gave you the wrong one, Brad. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Let me read it. I say with Paul, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. All of the gifts that we have received have come at some kind of cost. For instance, our salvation cost Jesus his life. Amen. Our sanctification now costs Jesus his attention. Have you thought about it, that his occupation in heaven is intercession for us? Just like a father and a mother rear their child, so in our sanctification, in our growth, in our Christian maturity, Jesus is working on our behalf. He's interceding for us, discipling us through his Holy Spirit. Amen? He is working. This gift of salvation continues with the gift of sanctification. He continues to give. Like a mom and a dad giving birth to their child. It's birth. It's new life. And then they die to themselves as they raise that child. Because it's impossible to do what we want to do as parents and still raise our kids, isn't it? We have to have a shift of priorities. We have to do not what is always fun, but what is right. for the lives of our children. And Jesus has given his life that we may not only be saved, but also may grow in him. Coming in for a landing here. Romans 6, 22 and 23. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. The result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we in turn share this gift that we have received, every Christmas we have the opportunity to share what Jesus means to us in our life in a very personal context. Amen. So families come together, and how often we miss doing that. When we in turn share the gift of the knowledge of Jesus Christ with our friends and family, gracefully and humbly, it's like getting a box of chocolates for Christmas. We're all sitting around in a circle. I've watched this, and it demonstrates how we become givers like our Heavenly Father. We open the gift, and we say, "Oh, thank you." And then we open the box, and we pass it around. And I've watched it happen. By the time it gets all the way around, it's all used up. That is a beautiful picture of giving as we have been given. There is an endless supply. But let's not be afraid that there won't be enough for us, amen, if we share it. Because in sharing, it multiplies, just like the loaves and the fish. Open it and share. Sharing Jesus through our actions and attitudes and goodwill. Doing this in our home just brings everything into perspective. I want to invite you to join Jeanette and I this Christmas in de-stressing by allowing the focus to be on Jesus. Like Jesus being born outside of town, in a stable, laid in a manger, don't we do the same thing sometimes? Like Dan prayed, in all the tinsel and the lights, and we marginalize Jesus. And we miss the point. Perhaps this year, God is inviting us to stop making room for everything else. It's stressing us out. And instead, make room for Jesus. Allowing Jesus to be the very center of everything that we do is not only a good way to spend Christmas, but a great way to live our lives. Amen. Sometimes I think what we're talking about here this morning goes without saying, and I mean that literally. Christmases come and go, and everything we're talking about here this morning goes without saying. We don't help our families necessarily always focus on why we're together. And it doesn't take someone standing up with a red letter edition Bible and saying, "Thus saith the Lord." It takes rather just encouraging words, an attitude that resembles the attitude and humility of Jesus Christ, and in love and in grace, do what can be sometimes difficult, the family all getting together. In grace and in mercy, we exemplify what we're talking about here this morning, Jesus. And why is it that those closest to us often get less than our best? Shall we focus this year on giving the gift of presence, of attention, time, and affection? In so doing, giving the greatest gift of all, Jesus. Here's where it gets really simple, but yet so complex. Gift giving for Christmas. Here it is. He gave us the gift of His presence, the gift of His grace, and the gift of His peace. Shall we also return and become givers as well, giving the gift of our presence, our love, our grace, and our peace? Remember that Christmas gifts and Christmas, it's not about the amount spent. It's not about meeting someone else's expectations. It's not about appearances. Remember that it is about Jesus. Amen? And you didn't need me to tell you that. You already knew that. But it helps, I think, for us to spend time remembering, accepting the free gift of His grace and salvation, passing on the gifts of His grace, mercy, and love is the best gift that we can give this year. It's the gift that we've been given, and we can in turn re-gift it, amen, and give it away. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you this Christmas to tell your personal story. Pray for opportunities to share how much Jesus means to you this Christmas with your family. I found two things about that. Nobody really argues with your own personal story, and stories are interesting. And that's how it's really meant to be done all along, is just sharing what Jesus has done for me. And you do the same in your life and in the lives of your family. Let's bow in prayer together. Thank you, Lord, for being the good giver of every perfect gift. Thank you for being a good, good Father. Thank you for giving us, Lord, all that we need to have the knowledge of salvation, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, the gift of discipleship, of following you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, help us, I pray, to also be good givers this year as we spend time with our families. Help us, Lord, I pray, to give as you have given to us the gift of presence, the gift of love, grace, and mercy. Teach us, Lord, how to give. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have this Christmas to make you the center of everything that we do, not only for the holiday itself, but how we live daily. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Worship team. Before we sing this song, I'd like to just read the words to it so that we can process it in a different part of our brain. Instead of running on autopilot, let's look at the words. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, the shepherd's watch are keeping? Why lies he in such unusual wrapping paper or mean estate where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian fear for sinners here. The silent word is pleading. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard, and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him laud, or worship the babe, the son of Mary. Let's stand together as Renata leads us.
The babe, the son.